It's good to see all of you here. Can we still say Happy New Year? I guess it's still New Year, right? Okay. All right. Would you take your Bibles, please? We're going to return to our study on the Sabbath. And I think last time we spoke on it was 5 weeks ago. So, because I missed a Sunday, I was sick and ill, and thankfully better now. But if you turn in your Bibles to Exodus 31, Exodus 31, I want to read verses 12 through 18. Of course, as we study about the Sabbath, we will spend quite a bit of time in the Old Testament, obviously. But we want to read Exodus 31, 12 through 18. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know," or you could read it, "in order that you may know that I am the Lord Jehovah who sanctifies you. Therefore you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to everyone who, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed. And when he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written by the finger of God." We certainly did not want to leave that verse out. Thank you for the water. And now let's have a word of prayer, okay? Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for the word of God. And we, Lord, as we look at this subject of the Sabbath, we want to be sure to handle your word accurately, to rightly divide the word of truth, and to truly understand what you have to say about this important subject. Father, it teaches us so much. The pictures, the symbols, just everything involved with this idea of the Sabbath instructs us in so many ways and can bless us in so many ways as we understand it. So we pray that your Holy Spirit would lead today and guide and help me as I teach, and help all of us as we listen to you that we might understand your word and what you have to say to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, this morning we're resuming our study of the Sabbath, which we began a few weeks ago. And as I pointed out, there's much confusion today on this issue. If you get on online and do a search, you'll be confused if you take it all in at once. There's just so many different things out there and so many ideas and arguments and all of that. So we want to try and clear up some of that. I think, as I mentioned 5 weeks ago, there's something like 563, at least one website says there's 563 groups or churches out there of some sort or organizations that claim to keep the Sabbath and that we must keep the Sabbath. And some of you mentioned to me when we first got into this, or I think maybe the last time I spoke, that you grew up in a church or a home where Sabbath keeping was kind of put forth, and you were forbidden to do certain things on Sunday, right? Maybe you couldn't play sports, or you couldn't do anything recreational, or you couldn't hang out with your friends and just do normal, fun kind of stuff that otherwise you might do on a different day. And you were prohibited from doing that kind of thing. One brother testified that he, even though he was not allowed to play anything on Sunday, he could gluttonize. Because they ate all day. So they ate a lot, I guess, and did that kind of stuff. I guess that's okay to be a glutton, but don't break the Sunday Sabbath. So anyhow, there's a lot of confusion out there in terms of the purpose of the Sabbath, what's permitted on either the Sabbath or Sunday, depending on what day you're talking about. And so we want to try and clear up some of that. But we won't get it all done today. We're going to approach it in three ways. You remember I told you kind of three approaches. First, I want to take and look at a dozen or so reasons why we believe that we as Christians are not required to keep the Sabbath today. That is the Sabbath in the sense of the seventh day or Saturday, as the Jews would think of it. Secondly, we're going to compare and contrast the Sabbath with what the Bible calls the Lord's Day, and that's once we get done with the 12 reasons for not keeping the Sabbath. And then thirdly, we want to kind of discuss specific questions and arguments. I saw one just recently, a YouTube thing. I didn't watch it, but it was the title, 10 Reasons Why You Must Keep the Sabbath Today. So there's arguments out there and ideas out there about it, and we'll kind of look at those once we... I think once we get through much of what we're going to cover today, a lot of those things will be answered anyhow. But we'll take a stab at it. So what about the Sabbath? Are we as Christians required by the Bible, by our Lord, to keep the Sabbath today as commanded in the Old Testament? Well, the simple answer to that is no. It's very simple. Absolutely not. No, we're not required to do that. The obvious question, of course, then is why not? Why aren't we required? So far, we've looked at one of the 12 scriptural reasons that we're not required to keep the Sabbath. I'm hoping to get through 5 or 6 more today, believe it or not, okay? The first reason had to do, if you remember, with the original meaning of the term Sabbath. And we've learned that the word Shabbat simply meant to rest, to cease, to stop working. And we saw that term and concept originally appeared back in Genesis 2:2-3, where God, after 6 days of creating the universe, completed his work, and he stopped, he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. Keep this in mind. At this point in time, this is not a command. There in Genesis 2:2-3, it's not a command to be obeyed, but simply a statement of fact concerning what God did on the seventh day. I will read also verse 31 of chapter 1. 1:31 through 2 and verse 3. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested. He rested, or he ceased working on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day, and these are very important terms we're reading now. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. Now please note that although God did bless and sanctify the Sabbath day as something special, as something holy, he does not yet command anyone to keep and observe the Sabbath. It's just a statement of fact here. He doesn't command anyone in any particular way to keep the Sabbath. In fact, such a command would not come until the time of Moses, around 1450 BC, in the giving of the law. But what we do see here is that on the seventh day, God rested, meaning he ceased his activity, his creative activity. And as we said before, that doesn't mean that God got tired or that God was weary. We know he's not subject to fatigue or a depletion of energy. But we saw that the word for rested means to cease activity. It simply means God was finished. He was finished with his work of creation. He was done, and he stopped working. And he stopped working, why? Because he was satisfied with the good and excellent job that he had just completed. Even as human beings, right? Think of it. We understand that when we do a task, often we'll do a task or do a job. Maybe Brian's doing a roofing job. And it's all done and it looks beautiful and Brian will step back and say, my, what a great job I did. No, he'll tell his guys what a great job they did, right? Okay. No, we understand when we've completed a task, we can step back and say, hey, that turned out really good, you know? And we understand that whether it's a roof or a building project or an art project or woodworking or whatever it is. I think we understand that in a human sense. Refreshment can come back when we step back and admire a job well done. And that's kind of the picture we see here. But speaking of pictures, and by the way, a lot of the Sabbath and a lot of the Old Testament, as you know, it's picture after picture, symbol after symbol, right? Communicating spiritual truths. And speaking of pictures, we also know that the Sabbath, even all the way back in Genesis, was a picture or a foreshadowing of the fact that God in Christ both finished the work of his material creation and he completed the work of salvation, redemption and salvation, the work of the new creation. The Sabbath foreshadowed that. The Sabbath pictured that. And as we've said, the Sabbath was the shadow of what was to come, and Christ and his finished work of salvation was the reality of that shadow. We looked at Colossians 2, 16 and 17. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, those things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Think of it this way. The Sabbath itself was not the rest that is found in Christ and salvation. The Sabbath rest was a picture of resting from engaging in good works, trying to work your way to heaven, trying to earn your way to heaven. It foreshadowed that. It pictured that rest. It pictured the completed work of Christ with regard to the new creation, with regard to salvation. And because the Sabbath, think of it this way, required physical, total physical rest on the seventh day by the Jews, by Israel, it was simply a shadow or a symbol or a picture of the true rest that is to come. That comes when a person believes in Christ, when they quit working for their salvation, when they get saved, etc. It pictures resting from our works, and ultimately it pictures our eternal rest in heaven, following our death on this earth. And you can read about that again. I'll just give you the references in Hebrews 4:3 and Hebrews 4:9 and 10. Okay? In other words, if you have Christ as Lord and Savior and you have salvation, you don't need the picture anymore. Amen? You don't need the picture anymore, obviously, or the shadow anymore. So again, that's the first reason that we're not required to keep the Sabbath day. The original meaning of the term Sabbath: to stop and rest, having finished and completed the work, and ultimately it points to our salvation. But let's move on to the second reason believers are not required to keep the Sabbath today. And that has to do, and this is so important and I think very fascinating, the original purpose of the Sabbath day command. The original purpose of the Sabbath day command. Now, we just barely touched on this reason last time, but I want to develop the thought in more detail today. The Sabbath was a sign. Okay, original purpose. The Sabbath was the sign to Israel of the old covenant under the Mosaic law, as revealed in, and I'm just going to give you some references. We're not going to look these particular ones up at the moment. We read one of them already. Exodus 31:16-17, Nehemiah 9:14, and Ezekiel 20:12. The Sabbath was a sign to Israel of the old covenant under the Mosaic law. Because we are now under the new covenant, according to Hebrews chapter 8, we are no longer required to keep the sign of the old covenant. Now, I could just say that, and we could be done with the whole study. But you know me, we're not going to do that. We got a few more details to add, okay? Now, some key points under this idea. Key points. Number one, first, the Sabbath law was given specifically to the nation of Israel, not to any other group of people, neither to Gentiles nor to believers in the church during the church age. Okay? We find no evidence in the Old Testament that God expected and or commanded the Gentile nations to observe the Sabbath, nor are they ever condemned for not doing so. He never condemns any Gentiles for not keeping the Sabbath. Why? Because he didn't expect anybody else to keep it. He didn't command anybody else to keep it. So it's certainly strange if he expected all peoples, as some people think and say, if he expected all peoples to observe the Sabbath as some kind of permanent moral law or principle. It was not that. It was very specific, a very specific command and sign to Israel. Furthermore, there is no evidence, biblically and or historically, of anyone keeping the Sabbath before the time of Moses. Okay? Before the time of Moses. Nor are there any commands in the Bible to keep the Sabbath before the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. Never find any commands in Scripture prior to the giving of the law at Sinai. The simple point is that the Sabbath law was specifically and directly for the nation of Israel. And as we've already seen, God rested on the seventh day. But think about it this way, from Adam and Eve to the time of Moses, he did not command anybody else to do that. Anybody else to do so. In fact, he did not command anyone to keep the Sabbath until the time of Moses and the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. And Moses lived some 650 years after Abraham and the founding of the nation of Israel. And God waited that long before he even gave the law to Moses and to Israel. Now, to see this in the Bible, I want us to look at two key passages, and I'll put both of them up. Actually, my dear wife will. Exodus 31:12-17. We're repeating a little bit of that here. But the Lord spoke to Moses saying, and I want you to read this very carefully. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, but as for you, speak to the sons of Israel saying, you who... Sons of Israel, right? You shall surely observe my Sabbaths, for this is a, what? A sign, very important to keep the language in mind here, between me and you throughout your generations. Why? That, in order that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you, that is, who sets you apart for a holy, special purpose. Therefore, you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you, again, sons of Israel, not to all of mankind in general, and not to the church, since the church had not even come into existence yet, right? And then he says, everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off or put to death from among his people, meaning Israel. For 6 days work may be done, But on the seventh day, there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. Now this is very important, the next part. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed. I emphasize that to point out to you that God's resting on the seventh day, following his completion of the creation, is directly tied to the purpose of the Sabbath. We'll talk about that more in just a minute. But a second key passage is Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 5. This is where Moses reviews the Mosaic law, repeats for Israel the law and the covenant which God made with them at Mount Sinai, including repeating the Ten Commandments and repeating the law of the Sabbath. Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15. God says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. As the Lord your God commanded you, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember," please keep that word in mind, underline that in your mind, circle it in your mind, "remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Remember that you were delivered from Egypt, therefore, the Lord commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." Remember this, God rested on the seventh day having completed his creation. Therefore, in essence he says that, in order that you may remember to observe the Sabbath day. These are very important connections that we're making here. In light of the Mosaic law, that was intended specifically for the nation of Israel, right? For the nation of Israel. I find it very interesting that those who vehemently today insist on keeping the Sabbath do not vehemently insist on the death penalty if you break the Sabbath. Right? Am I right? At least I don't know of anybody that does that. So just keep that in mind. I think it's interesting. Nobody insists on the death penalty. Second major point is that the Sabbath was intended by God to be a sign. This is so important. Let's talk about a sign. A sign, by definition, is a symbol that points to something or reminds you of something. A sign, by definition, is a symbol, a logo, a picture, some kind of sign that points to something or reminds you of something. It might remind us or point to an object, a place, a warning. So we have stop signs, yield signs, danger signs, signs pointing to places like Grand Rapids or Chicago or whatever. We understand what signs do. But often a sign in the Bible also pointed to and reminded men of a truth, of a promise, or of an event. For example, and you know all of these already, but God used a sign in connection with the covenant that he made with Noah. The sign was what in the sky? The rainbow. The rainbow promised that God would never, ever destroy the earth with a flood of water. Now, he'll destroy it in another way someday with fire, but not with water. God made a covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, promising him that he would become the father of many nations, that his descendants would be as numerous as the sand on the seashore and as the stars in the sky. And I think there's another place that talks about the dust of the earth, you know. We understand that. That's Genesis 22, by the way, talking about the stars in the heavens. And he provided a sign that identified his people, namely the sign of circumcision, Genesis 17, 9 to 14. That sign pointed to something, reminded men. It reminded men both of the need for cleansing and of the fact that a Jewish male belonged to the covenant people, Israel. So a biblical sign is both a symbol and a signal pointing to and reminding people of the fact that Jehovah God had a special covenantal contractual relationship with the nation of Israel. So important we understand that. That is that He, Jehovah, the one true and everlasting God, was their God, and they were His specially chosen people. And for Israel now to keep the Sabbath and obey the Mosaic law identified them and set them apart as holy, as God's special and holy and chosen people with whom He had a unique relationship and for whom He had special purposes and plans. That's what this Sabbath thing was all about. That is, as they would practice and obey the Mosaic law, including especially the Sabbath laws, Israel would communicate to the rest of the nations that they belonged to Him, right? That they belonged to Him, that they were a special, chosen, holy people. And of course, God's ultimate purpose would be that salvation would come via Israel. For as Jesus Himself said, salvation is from the what? From the Jews. From the Jews. John 4:22. But the sign of the Sabbath also pointed to something else. The scripture says. It also pointed to something else. Namely, an event. That of God freeing Israel, we just read about it, from bondage in Egypt. Notice Deuteronomy 5 again. Immediately following God's commanding Israel to observe the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. That's Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 14. Then verse 15, Jehovah says, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. In other words, this is the reason the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. But please notice something else. That is, the sign of the Sabbath also had another very important purpose, and please don't miss this one. The sign of the Sabbath points people, both mankind in general, I believe, and Israel in particular, it points people to the fact that God was their creator. That God was their creator. He was and is the creator of a perfect creation. In fact, the creator of paradise or the Garden of Eden. The Sabbath was to remind people of that, because what did God do on His Sabbath, the first Sabbath, the seventh day? He looked at His creation. It was completed. It was done. And He said it was very good. Very good. God saw all that He had made. That's Genesis 1 again. He saw all that He was made, all that He made. Behold, it was very good. And there was evening, there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all their hosts. And by the seventh day, God completed His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. And get this now. Then God did something. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, or made it holy, or set it apart, because in it He rested from all the work which God had created and made. That's so important. When the scripture says that God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, what is that term "made it holy" about? Well, it's a very important term. Literally it means God lifted it up. The set apart idea has an idea of elevation to it. He exalted it. He made it holy. He set it apart vertically in a sense. The Hebrew carries with it that idea. The seventh day. And this is the first time the word holy is used in the Bible. So what God did was he exalted this seventh day as a very special day. He separated and lifted it above all other days. The question is why? Well, the verses here, especially the three verbs, completed, rested, and sanctified, they kind of explain it and give us some reasons. First of all, God exalted this seventh day above all others because the heavens and the earth were completed. That's the first verb. And all their hosts, it says. This monumental work of creation. Boy, I think we take the creation for granted. And we might even take God our creator for granted. This monumental work of the creation, the entire universe, was completed. In 6 days, by the way, that's not too shabby when you think about it, right? I mean, when we have special days for things of, we have special days for things of far less importance. We have birthdays and anniversaries and Mother's Day and Father's Day and all kinds of things, you know, Groundhog Day or whatever. We have special days in this world. And we even take days off from work on some of those special days. So why not have a completion of the universe day? It's essentially what this was. It really was. Completion of the universe day. And God decides to have one, and he designates the seventh day of every week as that day. As a high and holy day. For on that day he ceased from his work of creation and he rested. He said, man. Well, he didn't say man, because maybe he said man. Man, that is very good, okay? I would have said man, but that's right. That high and holy day, and he rested because God did this in this manner, I think, and describes it as resting on the seventh day. I'm even more convinced that the work of creation took place in six literal 24-hour days. Because if they were something else, like six long periods of time, millions of years, you know, it wouldn't make much sense then to tell Israel, I want you to celebrate this Sabbath one day in seven, okay? One day out of every week, one literal day. And that's the parallel he makes, the comparison he makes. So that's why I think it was six, one of the reasons I think it was six literal days. So first, God exalted the seventh day above all others, because the heavens and the earth were completed and all their hosts. And secondly, God elevated the seventh day as holy because of the verb rested. We've said in a previous message that this is not the rest of weariness. It's not that God just ran out of gas and so he needed to take a break, you know. But this is the rest of total satisfaction. Because the work was finished, and again, God saw that it was very good. Takes us right back to Genesis 1:31, where it says that. And so we understand how this works. God's work of creation was finished. And he would be at rest for at least one day on the seventh day. However, he wouldn't rest for long, would he? Think about that. He rested one day, and he went right back to work again, because the first thing God did was slay some animals. And then the second thing he did in terms of work was make some garments to cover up Adam and Eve and their nakedness and their shame. And then he also had to work, and he drove them out of the garden. And God's been at work ever since, sustaining the universe, working, dealing with crazy human beings, and most of all, redeeming and saving men from sin. And that's called the work of salvation. And God continues. And he continues to be busy and he continues to work. Therefore, and in accord with the context here, God was making this day, every seventh day, a sign. That is a reminder that his creation was perfect. It was good, very good. It was perfect and it was complete. It was to remind people of that. Now, I don't know, folks, what you think of on Saturday, when Saturday shows up. Every Saturday, every seventh day. You know what we as Americans in our Western culture do? We say, well, now I can get some work done. Right? That's what we do. And we're busy beavers on Saturday, unless you're really, really tired. But you know, you might, and I'm not saying the Bible commands this, but you might stop and think every Saturday about this very thing. Think of what the seventh day reminds us of. God completed his work of creation, and it was very good, and I can praise him as my creator and appreciate the beautiful creation that we live in. Amen? I think we need to use a Saturday once in a while like that, because we've gotten rid of the Sabbath so much as Christians that we've now forgotten much of its significance, taking us right back to God, our creator. And then the third verb is sanctified there in verse 3 of Genesis 2. And the word itself indicates why God exalted this day. That is, God wanted to make this day holy. That's what sanctified means, which means to set apart for a special and divine purpose. And because of the significance of the seventh day by which God has completed, by which he completed his creation, on which he rested, he chose to elevate and exalt and set this day apart as a special sign. So later, when he would include keeping the Sabbath as part of the Mosaic law and the fourth commandment, he puts that fourth commandment smack dab in the middle of the Ten Commandments, it would remind mankind and Israel of his original creation and of the fact that through sin, man forfeited that perfect paradise. It should take us back to God's original creation, remind us it was a perfect paradise, and through sin, man forfeited that perfect paradise. God in the Mosaic law, and you know this, he essentially said in the law, as opposed to grace, obey this law and you will be what? Blessed. Disobey the law and you will be cursed, right? In fact, God said that repeatedly. He said it repeatedly throughout the Old Testament. You can read about it, especially the blessings and cursings, in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Leviticus chapter 26. So to observe or keep the Sabbath, that is to rest and cease from all the work on the seventh day, was a picture and a symbol, a very literal, almost physical picture and symbol that was a reminder to the Jews that God's original creation was completed and it was perfect, but also under that law, it was to show them that righteous behavior would restore a taste of Eden's paradise. He said, well, what do you mean by that? How does that work? Well, think about it. In ceasing from work every seventh day, I mean, if you, as a faithful Jew, really maintained that every seventh day and you rested all day long and didn't do any work, that was a picture of resting, a picture that Adam, of what Adam and Eve enjoyed in the Garden of Eden. Because think about it, prior to sin and the fall, God never commanded Adam and Eve to rest every seventh day, right? Prior to sin and the fall, God never commanded Adam and Eve to rest every seventh day. Why? Why didn't he? Because having not yet sinned, their activity tending to the garden, whatever they did, was not really work. They didn't do it in the sense of working by the sweat of their brow. The curse hadn't come yet, right? They didn't have to put forth any great effort and loss of strength and energy, like, and get tired, because remember, prior to sin and the fall, this was still paradise in every sense of the word. I want you to use your sanctified imaginations a little bit. Paradise in every sense of the word. No weeds, no struggles, no problems, because sin was not yet present. Amen? We have a hard time relating to that, I know. So the righteous behavior of obeying God and resting one day in seven would both remind them of God's creation of man's past paradise, and it would point also to a future kingdom, a kingdom when paradise would be regained. Man knew what paradise lost was, and it would point to a future time when we would have paradise regained. Thus, every Sabbath during which they rested pointed to and reminded Israel of a perfect creation, a paradise of God, dominated by righteousness, which sadly had been forfeited due to sin. And of course, we know now that only in and through Jesus Christ and the salvation available in him can such be regained, can such paradise be regained by becoming right with God. We know that now. But God then, in the Mosaic Law, he institutes the Sabbath or the seventh day system. And I remind you again of an extremely important point, namely that it is not commanded of everybody in the world. It's not commanded of everybody. That is, Sabbath keeping is not said to be for all mankind across the board. It was to whom? Israel, to the Jews only. That is, it's not for everybody. Specifically to the covenant people of Israel, Exodus 31:17 clearly says, it is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. So folks, I'm hammering on this because I don't want people coming along and teaching our people here or anywhere else that you gotta keep the Sabbath. That we're under the Mosaic Law again. And we've got some people running around doing that. So I want to be very careful that we understand the Word of God clearly here, that you don't, that you are not deceived into thinking that. So as part of Israel's law, every seventh day was a sign. And a beautiful sign and a reminder that they, along with all mankind, were sinners living in a fallen and a sinful world. Every seventh day would remind them that they had lost that paradise that God had created, as well as their right standing with God. It would remind them, the Jews, that the only way to regain even a taste of paradise, as well as their right standing with God, that is, keeping the Sabbath every seventh day was a taste of that, because you rested and you thought about God's perfect creation. You thought about the paradise. And as they would obey God and do no work on the Sabbath, they would get just a little taste of that righteousness and that old paradise which they had lost. Again, I think back, it was in that garden that man had experienced true rest, right? True rest. If you want to know what true rest is all about, think of Adam and Eve before the fall, before sin. And so God's law, the Mosaic law, revealed the fact that men were sinners and could not be righteous on their own. And by weekly observing it, and as they examined their own lives and compared their lives to God's perfect law, again, what it did was point out that they were imperfect, that they were sinful, that they could not measure up. They couldn't even obey that law perfectly. And the objective was that they would recognize their sin and be brought to repentance and faith in the Savior who would one day in the future come, right? That's Galatians. We looked at it in Galatians 3. The law would become a tutor, Paul says, to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. You could take that verse right there and understand that we're no longer under the law of the Sabbath, right? We are no longer under a tutor. Why? Because by faith in Christ, we now are righteous in God's sight. We've received Christ's righteousness. Because God has put his righteousness, imputed it to our account. Romans 5:1. So let me summarize the points and then we're gonna close here in just a minute or two. The Sabbath, to summarize, the sign of the Sabbath pointed to and reminded Israel of three basic things. One, Jehovah God had completed his creation, that he had a very holy covenantal purpose and relationship with the nation of Israel. Okay? The sign pointed to that relationship. Two, the sign of the Sabbath reminded Israel that God had freed Israel from their bondage in Egypt. And three, the sign of the Sabbath reminded Israel that God was their creator. The original creation was perfect, a perfect paradise, and man had rejected it. So complete rest every 7 days reminded them of that paradise lost. So God sanctified the Sabbath. He exalted it. He made it holy because in it he rested from all the work which he had created and made. And again, I point that out to emphasize the fact that the Mosaic law or the Mosaic covenant, including the law regarding the Sabbath, was not directed at the human race in general. It was nor the Church of Jesus Christ, but to Israel only. Now, as we close, think about this. As human beings, we understand that because of sin in the fall, we had a sinless and perfect existence, right? No pain, no sin, no disease, no troubles, no problems whatsoever. Perfect relationships with both God and man, and all the provisions we could ever need, food, material goods, pure and perfect pleasures. It was perfect in every way. But we lost it, and we say we lost it. You know, we really lost it in many ways. We lost it spiritually in our relationship with God. We became separated from Him. We lost it physically, mentally, emotionally, in regards to our minds and our brains and our bodies. And so we have physical illnesses, and we have all kinds of mental and emotional illnesses in our world, and diseases and maladies. And relationally, we lost it in regard to getting along with other people. And peace between people is gone, you know? And as I think of our world today, I look at one thing and one word comes to my mind. Do you know what it is? Tired. I am so tired of looking at a world of hatred and sin and division. When I look at the news, I'm just tired. I don't even want to watch the news hardly anymore. Because, right? You know what? People are tired of engaging in all of that too. They're tired of engaging in it all. So I know I quoted this before. I come back to one verse. Well, two verses. Maybe it's three verses. One passage, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, Jesus said. All who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I'm looking around our room here. I think, as far as I know, every person here knows the Lord. But isn't this what our world needs? They need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to believe on Him. And they need to come to Him, turning away from their sin, come to Him in faith, believing in Him, and receiving Him as Lord and Savior. So if there is anyone here today that needs that, come to Him and find the rest that you need and give Him the glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the Sabbath, for the many things it means, the many things that it points to, the many truths, the many events, the many principles that it points to and reminds us of. We give you praise for the completed physical creation. And we give you even more praise, Lord, in a sense, for the completed spiritual creation when you save a soul and you make each one of us new creations in Christ. We praise you and thank you for that, for our salvation, and for the rest that you give to our souls, where we don't have to work anymore to get to you, to earn your favor. For you, Christ your Son has done it all for us. And we give you the praise for Him. And we pray in His name. Amen.